So what's Scorecard Scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off my leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday night from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Your host hasn't seen everything in sports, but sometimes he acts like it, and his guests probably have. Now, the host of Scorecard Scribblings, your sports guy, Brent Weber.
Well, a good rainy December Wednesday night, everybody. Welcome to Scorecard Scribblings, your host, Brent Weber. It is a pleasure to see you. Well, kind of, you know, see you through the radio. I was watching some, I always watch MLB. I'm always trying to get through rainy days by getting a baseball fix. I don't know how sports you guys are. I mean, football, you just don't get the games every day. In basketball, you don't get a game every day. So to get through the winter, you have to find a way. I watched a little bit of Major League earlier today. But then I had to do my research for this tough, tough interview tonight. And I'm saying that sarcastically because my guest, a Shasta County Hall of Famer, Sports Hall of Famer, the pride of Anderson High School, William Francis Plummer. I can call him William Francis Plummer because he can't hit me. I'm on the phone with him. Bill Plummer joins us tonight. Thanks for stepping in and taking some cuts with me tonight.
Hi, welcome, Brad. Anytime.
Now, I want to start by reading this to you. So folks who, some things about the game of baseball are completely different, obviously. Technology's changed things, including scouting. But at the end of the day, people still have to look at guys, make a determination. You still have to do the old eye test. So I found this at baseballhall.org, and it's from 1967. Modesto, scout Eddie Bachman, and he writes, a catcher, bats right, throws right, 20 years old, 6'2", 200, arm, good, fields, average plus, hits, average, power average, runs, average minus, base running, average minus, you know, they're just saying you run like a catcher. Hustle, good plus, but here's what he said about this kid, this 20-year-old Plummer. Just starting to put things together, catching and throwing have improved 100% in the past year. Hitting improved over the past month of the season. This boy is all baseball. All the desire and hustle in the world, pretty good knowledge of things, strong, can catch every day, doesn't get hurt. Recommend a draft on him if available. You probably didn't see that until you were a grown-up, you know, out of the game, because they never used to let you see that.
Sometimes you never see him in the scout. I knew that, you know, the reason I know that when something happened that year, because I was Rule 5 by the Cubs, and I spent a year with Chicago the next year.
That's
after playing in the Cal League. So, but it wasn't Eddie Bachman. I don't know if it was Eddie Bachman then or not. I thought he was with the Phillies. Eddie Bachman was with the Phillies for a lot of years.
That's just what's written on there. Yeah, that's just what's written on there. It's cool to be able to pull, I mean, really, Hall of Fame website. Man, you can pull up some pretty cool stuff. That's cool that I found that, you know?
No, that is, I've never seen that, so that's pretty neat. You know, scouts, you never really, once you sign this stuff, you kind of never, they were there, but you know, you were worried about every day how to go out and play a game and, you know, try to win a ball game, so you play every day, so it was a lot of fun, and I've always enjoyed it. I played for Sparky that year, too, in 1967, so it was a lot of fun. We had a good club, and we won, you know, we were in the playoffs and ended up losing the playoffs, but, a lot of fun.
For those who don't know, and most baseball folks do know what the Rule 5 thing is, essentially you're cherry-picked off of another team's 40-man, right? And then
no, basically what it is that they don't protect you. If you're, you know, like after 3 years, you're you can be, they have to protect you by the where they put you on a roster. If it's an A-ball, double-A, triple-A. So if I was on a, say, just for example, if they were going to draft me major league, and I would have been on a AAA roster, which I was, and that's why they drafted me Major League. If you're on a AA roster, the other team would have had to draft you and put you on a AAA roster. So.
And what they have to do is keep you, or else used to be able, they would maybe try to work out a trade with the other team.
Right.
If they
well, what
to...
happens is if they paid $25,000, I think it's $50,000 now or more. But I mean, in those days, 67, they paid $25,000 to draft me, and then if they tried to send me out, and the club that who was the Cardinals would have the first choice to take me back for $12,500. So. But I stayed the whole year, so I was protected, and then I was in the Cubs, and I got traded the next winter anyway, so it didn't really matter. I went to Cincinnati the next in 69.
How do you go a whole season and only get two at-bats? That must have made you crazy.
Yeah, well, it's pretty tough. They were playing for it. In those days, we played for Leo DeRocher, and, you know, that club had, let's see, Ernie Banks at first, Glenn Becker at second, Kessinger at short, Ron Santo at third, Randy Hundley catching. They had Dolfo Phillips, Billy Williams, Jim Hickman, really great club. And that was before the divisions. And they were in it all the way to the end. So they finished, you know, like third, I think, overall. So
yeah,
basically, he didn't really use me in situations because he wanted to win ball games. I understand. So, you know, now I do as a manager. Then I didn't. I'm a little frustrated.
Well, didn't Hundley catch 160 games that year?
21 years old.
I think Hundley got 160 games, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he played a lot. He was an Iron Man. So.
Well, then you wind up. We all know that 69. Then you and a couple other guys, I guess, got traded for Ted Abernathy. That was a big deal for the Cubs. They're getting a reliable arm in Abernathy, and little did you know they had you groomed for a backup role that would last a long time in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I was pretty fortunate. I remember watching John play. He was only 20 years old in 68, and he was rookie of the year. And I said, boy, that's the only place I don't want to go. And I was there the next next spring. So, John, good timing.
did you see the Johnny Bench documentary that was on?
Most of it, yeah. I watched most of it, yeah. I thought it was really good. Yeah, I really like John. He always treated me really well.
Terrific. Hey, well, I want to talk a little bit. I mean, I love to get you telling me stories, but I want to get your feel on a couple of guys. We have the Hall of Fame, and I like the revisiting of players. Ted Simmons gets in as a player, and I think the argument was made. You know, that's a guy. I mean, his career started when you were still playing, and a switch hitting catcher. That could rake. He was such a good player, yet because he didn't get enough votes that first time, he was done. And I think that this new Veterans Committee stuff that they're doing, or they've got a fancy name for it. What is your thought on Simba, Ted Simmons?
No, I knew Teddy, too. I mean, I think he signed maybe 3 years after I did 1968 or somewhere in there. But he's one of the best hitting catchers, that I've seen on a consistent basis. He had over 300 a lot of years, and played every day, Ironman, and played hard, and good team leader. You love to watch him play. He was out there every inning.
Wasn't he a switch hitter?
Yes, he was. That's why I say he's one of the best switch hitters I've seen, you know, as a catcher, you know, especially for, you know, average, too, both sides. You know, I mean, he didn't hit as much power, maybe 12, 14 home runs. I don't know the most runs yet, but a lot of doubles, good hitter, drove in runs. So, you know, well, really good player.
I kind of like.
Deserving of the Hall of Fame.
I was going to say, I like that those guys get revisited, and, you know, it seems fair. And there's probably a couple of other guys that you played against or of your era that are still among those who, you know, guys like, well, Lou Whitaker would have been a little after your playing day. He was still playing, right? You were still playing.
Yeah, well, he was in the American League. So,
right.
I mean,
so,
he played longer than I did. He played a long time. I remember him with with Detroit and him and Trammell, you know, Sparky over there when Sparky left the Reds, you know, so they were part of the championship team there too. So, yeah, that was a pretty good combination up the middle. So,
what
Cards wasn't bad either with Concepcion and Morgan.
Not bad at all.
No.
Those who Marvin Miller wasn't in the Hall of Fame.
I think he's the most deserving guy to get it. I mean, you know, for what Marvin did for us and the ball players at that time, you know, took us out of poverty and put the guys in the point where, you know, they had an opportunity to have a little freedom of movement, had a lot of different things. It just, you know, created where before you were, you were under the owner's thumb and you had no chance to get out of there no matter what. I mean, I was kind of in that situation too. Never, there was no trade clause, no other, you know. Early in your career, you want a chance to play, and then kind of later you accept your role and kind of go on with it. But now guys can move, you know, there's, you know, so. But what Marvin did was he kind of created the union and our rights and everything else for the players, and he stood hard against the owners and a lot of things that are well-deserving for the players.
We're talking with Bill Plummer, and I got to see him blush just a minute ago by reading his scouting report from back in 67. But I'm going to just take a quick break, if that's all right, Bill, because I want to ask you about Edgar Martinez and you know, a few other things that I know hopefully will be positives as people look back and at the last couple of years in baseball. So stick around for just a minute. Bill Plummer is my guest tonight on Scorecard Scribblings.
All right, great, bro.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
The holiday season is here, so why not give the gift that keeps giving? Perhaps a social membership or golf lessons. Riverview Golf and Country Club has been providing home away from home entertainment. Find out how you can become a member today. Go to riverviewgolf.net. That's riverviewgolf.net.
Season's greetings from the Redding Colt 45s. This is Rick Bassetti, General Manager of the Colt 45s. The Colt 45s wish our veterans the very merriest Christmas and a happy holiday. The Colt 45s sincerely appreciate the sacrifice of our military deployed throughout the world and those veterans who have served our country and our citizens so well. And remember, on opening night, all veterans, all active duty, and all reservists get in free for the Colt 45's opening night.
Many accidents are caused by worn wiper blades. Let's face it, it's just uncomfortable when you're driving in the rain, snow, fog, and everything else in between with worn wiper blades. At Premier Oil Change, when you buy one wiper blade, you get the second blade free. Yes, now through January 15th, buy one wiper blade and get the second one free for as little as $11.99. At Premier Oil Change, we make maintaining your car easy. There's no need for an appointment, and you don't drop off your car or wait. Just pull in, enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations get you a free car wash with every oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Home of the friendly oil change.
Come on in to Black Bear Diner, where the portions are bear-sized and the service makes you feel at home. With breakfast served all day, anytime's right to dig into our one-of-a-kind sweet cream pancakes, Bear Benedicts, or generous sides of thick-cut bacon and tantalizing sausage patties, house-made from our signature recipe. Whenever you do breakfast, do it at Black Bear Diner, because around here, every plate comes with heaping helpings of happiness.
Black Bear feels like home.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Before he was earning World Series championship rings as a member of the Big Red Machine, 75 and 76, and a few years before and after, it was still big and it was still red all those years he was there. He was, of course, the pride of Anderson High School, Shasta College, and then the Shasta County Sports Hall of Fame. Bill Plummer joins us, still a North State resident. We can't drag you out of here, I guess, even in a cold, wet winter night.
No, we like it here.
We were talking before the break about the guys that have been added to the Hall of Fame class from kind of the Veterans Committee, the new what they're calling, whatever the new thing they're calling. But another guy I want to talk to you about, because I know you had him in the minor leagues, was Edgar Martinez, who you had him in, I guess, Chattanooga, as you said, and well, you had him in a couple of different teams, but in his
speech, Calgary, and then I had him in Calgary in AAA.
So. Yeah, he thanked you. Yeah. He said other
and then
guys.
The big...
But I was going to say, he thanked you in his Hall of Fame speech in Cooperstown, and you know, for you know all the work that you did with him, and that had to feel pretty good.
No, it was really great. I, you know, I sent him a quick little message, a thank you message, and told him I really appreciate the, you know, the words and stuff, really nice words. And, cause, you know, I look at players like this, you do the same thing for all the players, and it's the ones that, you know, work harder and do it on their own, and, they're the ones that, should have the credit. That's our job is, I tell the same thing to a lot of guys, and, they're able to apply it and have great success, you know, I mean, so Edgar was really great. And then in 92, he won the batting title year. I was my one and only year managing in the big leagues, but, no, a great kid, really a nice person, and always ready to play. He loved the game.
And he's the guy you mentioned, that hard work. I mean, he had an eye issue, and you know, that could have stopped a lot of guys' careers. And I saw him very early when English was still a real problem for him. And you know, I remember covering him early in his career. But he was just the kind of guy that actually that group of young guys that you guys had coming through Seattle at that time. There were some real baseball gamers, you know, in that bunch.
Yeah, a lot of good players that, you know, went on and played for a long time in other clubs. You know, I mean, so it's, you know, we had, well, Griffey was there too, but I mean, you know, you had Griffey and you had, Buehner was having a good year. He came with a trade from the Yankees, and, Harold Reynolds was there for a long time as a second baseman. We had, Omar Vizquel as a shortstop, and you had Edgar playing third and DHing, and so you really had a good club. You know, I mean, Dave Valley was a catcher there too. That really a great defensive catcher and catch and throw guy. And, we had O'Brien at first, and we had Tino Martinez too before mm-hmm. they traded him, you know. So went on to be a, you know, Hall of Famer almost with the Yankees, a great player, you know. So, but, no, they had a lot of talent, you know, pitching wise. We had Randy Johnson there and some other people. A lot of great players, you know, so. Unfortunately, the year I was there, we just didn't win enough games.
Yeah, and you know, you got a chance to manage at many levels over many years. I think I was looking your career managerial mark, 1,544 and 1,418 or something like that. So you had a winning record over all those years and all that kind of stuff. But I'm falling down in here. But you know, the game just—you can never step away from this game, can you? I mean, I know you're reducing the roles that you're, the time that you're spending. You know, you got family, you got kids, you got grandkids. But it's hard for baseball guys to step away.
Yeah, it is. I'm, you know, but 53 years is a long time. It's nice. The game's changing a little bit too, and you know, you kind of. There's a lot of analytics in it, a lot of different philosophies, a lot of stuff going on. I think a lot of them are good too for the game, too, you know. And so, but it's, I was fortunate to spend that much time in the game. You know, you're really fortunate to be able to look back and say, you know what, hey, I had a heck of a career. I did something I loved for a long time, so I have no complaints.
Connor Menez, your grandson.
Yeah, it was great this year. Shelly and I went to the games there, and I got a chance to see him, you know, on his opening day and, you know, his start and stuff. And then we went back again, so then we saw him in AAA a couple times this year, too. So, great young man, and, you know, really, he's got to the big leagues in a hurry. So, you know, and he still has a chance to maybe, you know, make that rotation if he pitches really well in the spring. So, we're really happy for him. If he doesn't, I mean, he just needs experience, too. So, I mean, but he's really a great kid, hard worker, and the Giants kind of liked him this year, so we were really happy he's on the roster. So we're really pleased and happy for him.
And what about Billy? Billy Plummer, we saw him begin his pitching, turning towards trying his hand at pitching, and how's that going, and how's he this winter?
Good. He's, you know, he's getting ready to, you know, start, I think, in January, so he's been doing the fall ball and stuff, and he's getting bigger and stronger, and he's working at it. So, you know, I think he's got a great chance. So he's just going to keep working where he gets to the point where you know, he's going to have, I know he's had a lot of clubs interested in him to go somewhere to different schools, and, you know, so double, I think D2s and some NIA schools. So he's pretty excited, and we're kind of excited that he, you know, he gets a chance to pitch this year. He just needs to pitch and get better. That's all. And he's working at it, and a big, strong kid. Now he's over, you saw him, over 6'4" and about 220 now, and he's working hard. So we're really excited.
And now I'll throw you a curve here because I was thinking about it today while I was watching. What's your, you got any favorite baseball movies? Any?
Well, my favorite one is, it's the Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
I think that was probably my favorite when I saw that. The Natural was great, too. And then, the other one in the minor leagues. All three of those movies were probably my great, really enjoyed them. So.
Yeah, Major League.
With Kevin Costner.
Oh, yeah. Bull Durham.
Durham and even Major League and stuff. Those were really great, too, I thought. And, even for the love of the game with, Kevin Costner as a pitcher. So and those are all, there's a lot of truths in some of them, and a lot of them are exaggerated, a little exaggeration, but still, it's great. And it kind of tells you, too, like some of the ones in the minor leagues, is how hard the road is for kids to get there. It's tough,
And people,
if you love it, it doesn't really matter because you get an opportunity to play and do something you like. So you kind of, just be thankful for every day you get on the field.
And baseball becomes your home. The field becomes your home if you're a kid, who's never – some of these kids have never been away from home when they head out there.
Yeah, a lot of different challenges, a lot of life lessons you learn, too, and stuff, too, so – kids are, a lot better now. Kids are a lot better off now because they usually have agents and they take care of them and stuff. We played, and when I first started managing, you were kind of mother, dad, and father, and everybody, and trying to help them get their phones in their apartments. You had to kind of lead them away to get them to the point when you're managing. So I started managing by myself with 25 kids and a trainer, so 140 games with them. So, it's quite an experience. So.
Well, and then some stories get better over time. You're part of a few legendary stories, a cold night in Pittsburgh, and maybe a fire started in the bullpen. Is that one true?
Yeah, that was Barbone. Yeah, pretty crazy. Yeah, had a nice big fire going. So.
Who knew baseball bats would burn that well?
Yeah, well, they did. So, but... pretty cold in Pittsburgh, too, so it was some of those nights. Probably the coldest place was Candlestick, though. Sometimes in July it was colder than any place I've been with that wind way after 4 o'clock.
I only saw a couple games there, but I can tell you that the way that wind swirled, I think it was Don Robinson hit a pinch hit home run as a pitcher. They needed a pinch hitter, and he was a big guy, and I think he went up and hit a home run. I just remember the wind was crazy there.
Yeah, so it's kind of cold, big park, so... And, the ball didn't carry very well. So those are all my idols. I grew up with, with McCovey and Mays and all those guys, and even Willie Kirkland in the old park and Seals Stadium. But, probably the biggest thing is after I got Rule 5 and was on the Major League Club with the Cubs in spring training, it was pretty amazing seeing Willie Mays and McCovey and those guys come up to the plate with your catch behind them. And, I got to catch behind them a little bit in spring training. I was pretty in awe. So. Those things are, it's kind of neat. It's kind of surreal to be able to see all of a sudden one rhyme. 3 years ago, you were stinking watching them on TV, and then you're behind the plate when they're hitting.
And then that whole year, didn't you say you got to watch Ernie Banks and Billy Williams?
Yeah. All them and Ron, Ron Santo. And Hundley was really a good catcher, too. Him and Bench were kind of the first one-handed catchers, So, but the game really changed, and for the better, too. So.
Well, what do you do? What's your holiday going to be like? And I know.
We're probably going to head down to the Bay Area and see Shelley's folks and stuff. So we kind of stayed here for Thanksgiving, and then so we're heading down there to see family. And I think Billy went to see. He's got a girlfriend he met here, and he went up to Plymouth Falls. That's where she was from for Thanksgiving. But he'll go down with us to the Bay Area and see. His grandpa and everybody else and all the family are in that Bay Area, so we'll see everybody on Shelley's side. So it'll be a nice trip down there. We're excited about that.
Well,
how about you?
Got Mom and Dad here. We're going to stay close, and my daughter's coming in from Minneapolis with her family.
Great.
So, yep, can't wait for that. Can't wait. Thanks for asking. All right, well, Plum, I called you at the last minute. You stepped in, and I hate to say it, but, you know, you – I didn't know you were on the bench to step in, but just like always, you stepped in, did your job, got it done.
Well, no, I appreciate it. I always like talking baseball. It was good, man. So we enjoyed it. So a lot of great things, you know. It's fun, and you know, and I've had a lot of fun the last couple of years in 45. So it's been kind of fun. Keeps me occupied. I love the kids. That's probably what I miss more about professional baseball, is not being able to work with the kids. But right now I've got enough with Billy and everything else going on. So I have a few lessons I do here, you know, in the cages with a couple of the catchers and a couple of hitters. So young kids, younger. But so it keeps me feet wet and keep me moving around a little bit. So, and I still got Horsley around too. He's still here from
I know
from
Nick
the
Horsley.
Summer,
so, he was so yeah. excited to be staying at Shasta. Well,
I go over and give him a hand too. He helps catch Billy, and then I'll give him a lesson and do a little hitting, catching, whatever he wants to do. So that's been always fun. So he's a great kid. I really like him a lot.
Bill Plummer, thanks for joining us. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, New Year's, and all that good stuff. And we'll hope to see you in the spring. I'm sure we'll see you out there at some point.
All right, yeah, I'll be around. So hey, nice talking to you. You guys have a great holiday. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Bill Plummer, Shasta County Sports Hall of Famer and just a great baseball guy, our guest tonight. We will be back with talking a little Shasta County High School sports. That's right. We're going to talk to one of the co-founders of a Shasta County website, ShastaCountySports.com, that has really filled and expanded, I think, a huge need in the North State. Back with more on Scorecard Scribblings in just a moment.
That's right.
A holiday favorite, It's a Wonderful Life, will be shown at the historic Cascade Theater on Monday, December 23rd. Pack up the family, grab some drinks and popcorn, and enjoy this classic on the big screen. An angel sent from heaven to help a frustrated businessman by showing him what life would be like if he never existed. Tickets available at cascadetheater.org or by calling 530-243-8877.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423 at Advanced Automotive.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
In a recent speech, Attorney General William Barr strongly underscored the religious foundations of America. He said the founders saw religious liberty as the scaffolding on which they hung a free government. Well, Mr. Barr reminds us that free government only works for religious people who know there is a transcendent moral order preceding state or man-made law. He is concerned that militant secularists not only promote their own view, but seek to silence the religious voice. Folks, Pacific Justice Institute shares this concern. Become a partner today to help PJI defend the religious voice. Visit PJI.org.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at PacificJustice.org. That's PacificJustice.org.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
You know, Aaron Williams' name is Byline and More, local sports journalist. He's been a coach in the area, and of course, this is home to his family as well, with two other locals, the Holmes, TJ, and gosh, why am I forgetting her name? Oh my gosh, what is Mrs. Holmes' name?
Tracy.
Gosh, Tracy, I am so sorry. You should see my bad handwriting. DJ and Tracy Holmes, the co-founders of Shasta County Sports. Aaron, you know, what is a huge undertaking for anybody has, I guess it's just finally, not finally, but it begins to take steam after a while, and you guys have created a positive monster, I think, for high school sports in the North State.
Yeah, thank you. You know, both TJ and I worked at the newspaper, and in our past lives, we both have full-time jobs of our own, and, you know, just got to see the way prep sports was being covered last year and weren't really satisfied with it. So, you know, we kind of took that on as a part-time gig, and it's really kind of snowballed. You know, TJ, Tracy, and Mike Daly, our photographer, you know, we really got the ball rolling last year, and it was just kind of a, hey, let's try this kind of thing, and people responded to it in a way that we expected they would, but we were really kind of surprised at how eager they were for it. I mean, and you know, the need's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've added some folks. Max is our kind of an intern for us. He's a young budding journalist, and Tony Hort is an amazing photographer, and he's joined the team. And you know, it's exciting. We're in our second year, and, you know, we're right now in the kind of the confluence of sports, I like to call it, between football and basketball, and it's just a busy, busy time.
ShastaCountySports.com. As you mentioned, there's that time when the playoffs are coming in football, and, you know, you're trying to cover 10 schools. Playoff time, you may be covering teams that you're not used to, of course, and you're having to learn more about them. And then, oh, and by the way, basketball has started in those early tournaments especially. You getting any sleep?
You know, a little bit. I also work for Max Prep, so I'm doing high school stuff on that end as well. And you know, 1 weekend ago, I was up in Fall River in the snow covering their section title game, and then down in the rain for Sutter and Paradise in their section final game. And you know, up in Shasta County, we don't have any more teams playing football,
right.
And so now we get to go inside the warm gymnasium where we had Harlan Carter last week, the Foothill Boys Impress. And tomorrow we tip off the girls' Harlan Carter, the 46th annual, I think. And, you know, I've been a part of a bunch of those. I had my son play in it as well. You know, he won MVP the year he was a senior, and it's really kind of fun to get back in the gym and see all these, you know, young men and women kind of tear it up.
And to me, high school sports in any community are so important across the board because of community, because of, you know, connecting generations and not to get sappy about it, but there isn't enough of it. And that's why I'm glad that you guys have been able to. It's become even bigger than I think you thought it would be, because we need it. As you mentioned, the newspapers and our industry, that part of our industry continues over the last decade and a half now, has just had it's changed, continues to change, and that means smaller papers are struggling to, you know, to have enough people on staff to do the job. And where do we turn, you know?
Yeah, and you know, and I think the model that we've got, you know, the online, low overhead, you know, no corporate, we get to decide what we want to do and how we do it, it is kind of, might be the wave of the future as far as community sports journalism. I know I've seen stories where in Colorado they've cut sports staffs out of their newsroom, and it's a shame because it really is. It does connect the past and the future. You get walk into a gymnasium and, you know, I think back to all the kids that I've seen play and that are now playing elsewhere and in college. And, you know, you really do chronicle the history of an area. And, you know, as well as anybody, Brent, this is a small town. It is 90,000, but it has the small town feel to it.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and people know each other, and it connects us to, you know, from one side to the other. One thing that you know, as we're kind of looking at the bigger picture, because when I came here with Channel 7, they had ditched sports a while back, and then you know, Mike was there, so Mike would always kind of fill the gap, Mangus, and then they do the stuff on Friday nights. But really, outside of the station that, you know, Action News, and they're based in Chico. It's too bad, because to me, here's the thing to me, why this, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I don't understand why any local media entity would cut sports, because it is something that no one else has. Nobody else has it. I can remember consultants would say, well, anybody can see the job. They can get it all on ESPN now. No, they can't. They can't get Drew Nelson Kroll of Reading Christian. They can't get, you know, the West Valley High School football games on Friday night, or that. And that's the thing. That is where local media wins every time.
It's funny. I took over sports at the newspaper in 2003, and that was my mantra. And, you know, we're talking the advent of the internet back then, right?
Right.
You know, way back in 03, it was, if you wanted to see the Raiders or Niners or hear about the Giants or the A's, you could get it on the internet. You couldn't get Foothill. You couldn't get Shasta. You couldn't get Enterprise anywhere but us. Or at the time, Channel 7 still had it.
It is,
you know, and I'm sure, you know, from consultants, they'll tell you, and I remember hearing the stat when I was at the newspaper, well, only 19 to 21% of people actually read sports. Well, those 21% of your subscription base are probably the most rabid and avid readers of what you do.
Absolutely, and they're the ones who actually, I would, you know, and I'm sure there is tons of research, and we could find it if we wanted on API or something. But the bottom line is, they're also the ones who subscribe because of that. And you know, I am more likely to subscribe because of local sports than, and this has been the case throughout my life, than I am for local news.
I had a job working graveyards in a grocery store, and a long, long time ago, just out of high school. And you know, we used to wait for the Chronicle guy to come at 3 a.m. to deliver the paper, and my buddy would walk out there with a quarter, because it only cost a quarter back then, and way back in the 80s, and he would open the newspaper box, look for the green section, because the Chronicle's Sporting Green was actually on green paper. He would pull that section out, and then he would shut it. He wouldn't take anything else. He'd leave the rest of the paper in the box.
Yeah, that sounds good. Sounds familiar.
All he wanted to know was sports.
See, so, all the people, you know, who grew up on the West Coast, you always got the finals.
I'm happy to see what the paper's doing. You know, they've got a young, energetic guy, and they're writing some feature stories. But I do think that people also want to know who wins and loses on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm an abashed Shasta guy. I want to know how Foothill does. I want to know how Enterprise is doing. I want to know who wins and loses.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, with TJ and Tracy and Mike and our team, we chronicle that so you can find out. So you don't have to go to a million games. You can find out who wins and who loses and who's done well and you know, we just released the all-league teams. We're working on all-section football and our all-county stuff. And, you know, you can find out who are the standouts.
And, of course, basketball across the top of the board. You also do some Shasta College sports. Any chance of covering Simpson more in the future?
You know, it's one of the things that we've talked about, you know, primarily for high school and Shasta College. Those are guys that are looking to move on, and that was kind of the core premise that TJ and Tracy and Mike and I had is, you know, we're going to kind of pump up the guys that are trying to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Simpson, while I love going to watch games, I love watching Todd Franklin coach.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a full-time sports information department that is able to get their message out. And so it makes it a little bit less important, I guess, on our radar as pumping up, you know, Demarie Lewis Cooper or, you know, Ava Jackson from Foothill or, you know, any one of those West Valley studs down there on football. So, you know, that's kind of our impetus is, you know, getting guys noticed. And, you know, it's funny. We get messages on Twitter and Facebook from people up and down the northern section. You know, one of the Bigs head coach, Coach Rutledge, would send us messages weekly saying, hey, love the podcast. We're looking forward to going up the Fall River and hopefully handling business.
Cover two, the podcast, right?
Yeah, and so for the coach down in Biggs to be listening to our podcast up here in Shasta County when he's down in Butte, it's kind of humbling and kind of shows you the thirst that people have for this.
Well, I agree. Aaron Williams, editor-in-chief of ShastaCountySports.com and a national editor for Max Preps. It's fun to talk to you. I know you guys have been so busy. I've been dying to get you on, but I really relied on you this past season doing the high school games on Friday night. I would listen to Cover 2 while I was driving to the game to prepare to make sure I didn't miss anything important. So we're all appreciating it.
And, you know, if anybody out there listening wants to sponsor, they can get a hold of us, you know, via our website or ShastaCountySports@gmail.com. That's the way this thing's going to keep going is kind of funding that way. We're self-supporting and, you know, advertising keeps us afloat.
And that's critical, yeah. And then you can go to their website, too, at ShastaCountySports.com, and just pull down, advertise. You can see, you can see Aaron's handsome mug on there and photos of the team, but also learn more how to support a very important part of our community. Thanks again, Aaron Williams, for joining us tonight.
No problem. Thank you.
All righty. We'll be back with more on Scorecard Scribblings. I'm going to have I'll turn the Wayback Machine. We're going to go surfing on the Wayback Machine. That's right, surfing in the Olympics. I'm Nostradamus. I'll explain to you in a minute.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Working from home as a freelancer, remote worker, or entrepreneur? Drop-In is a professional co-working shared office space designed to meet the needs of today's mobile worker. Drop-In has multiple workstations, conference rooms, video call booths, and lightning-fast, secure fiber Wi-Fi. Do you need space to work for just an hour or full-time? Hourly, daily, and monthly rates are available and walk-ins are always welcome. Visit dropin.mobi for more information or drop in and take a tour at 155 Lake Boulevard East next to Starbucks. Isn't it time you found your space?
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
Always want to hear a little bit more of that pick in there. You're listening to Scorecard Scribblings. Your host, Brent Weber. Tom Waits in the background. It'd be cool if Tom Waits would just come in here and play some baseball songs or some sports songs. Anyway, having fun tonight. The Wayback Machine, I'm trying to go back into my own personal archives and kind of replay stories that I did earlier in my career. So let's go back to the mid-90s. I'm telling you this one because I know we're here in the North State where we don't do any surfing. Of course, you can just go over there to the coast. You can surf. But I know there's also a lot of SoCal people who make their way up here. Anyway, this year, for the first time, surfing will be an Olympic sport in 2020. Pretty cool. In Japan, four-person team representing the United States, they've already selected three of four. Carissa Moore, four-time world women's champion. Caroline Marks, who's only 15. Kolohe Andino, who is the son of a guy I used to cover all the time in Huntington Beach. And actually, I think he grew up in San Clemente. Dino's boy, Kolohe Andino. I can't believe he's a grown man. I used to watch him surf as a child. Anyway, he's the one guy that's in. And the last choice, the last man will likely come from the matchup of John Florence, who has become one of the top surfers in the world in the last half dozen years, and 11-time world champion, he's got to be 40 now, Kelly Slater, he's in his 40s now. They are surfing at Pipe Masters Banzai on the North Shore. There's one other guy I think who can get in, but it's probably going to come down to one of those two guys to get the fourth spot in the Olympics. There are many who have said surfing, you can't surf in the Olympics, man, you know. Well, back in the mid-90s when the U.S. Open of Surfing was becoming huge in Huntington Beach and I worked at CNN, I had a chance to explore that, including you'll hear from a young Kelly Slater in this story. So let's get the Wayback Machine going. Mike Galanos, who actually worked in sports before he went to CNN Headline News, has the anchor introduction to my story in the mid-90s on the possibility of surfing becoming an Olympic sport.
Well, there were few, but among the criticisms of the Atlanta Olympics was that there were just too many events, that the games have become just too big. Some point to the addition of beach volleyball, but thanks to the popularity of that sport, there could be a Sandy spinoff. Brent Weber tells us about a wave of Olympic support for yet another alternative sport.
Dudes hanging 10 for gold, silver, and bronze. Well, if they have their way down under, Surf's Up will be heard at Sydney's 2000 Olympics.
It's a challenge, and there are many other sports competing for those demonstration sports spots. But I still think it'd be kind of cool.
The idea isn't as radical as you might think. The ASP World Pro Tour will offer more than $4 million in prize money this year. And at this week's U.S. Open in Huntington Beach, California, more than 200,000 spectators are expected to watch the world's top men and women compete for a purse totaling $160,000.
I think the
a few of the basic things that go along with surfing. People consider it a dangerous sport. It's an exciting sport when we have the right waves, obviously. I think those things would be great for an Olympics.
Not everyone in the water is enamored with the idea of Olympicizing surfing. In fact, the so-called soul surfer fights an inner battle over the idea of referring to what he considers a way of life as a sport at all.
If surfers go to the Olympics, they're going to make them march. And okay, so it's a beautiful march around the track. Surfers should never march. And they're going to make surfers march. And right there, it's kiss of death. Kiss of death for the sport. Because this sport really is about freedom.
That's Sam George, by the way. He's a sports writer.
Every one of us here would, in a heartbeat, drop it all and go back to Western Australia and ride Margaret River, or go to the Maldives, or go to Tahiti, or Fiji, or South Africa and ride Jeffreys Bay. We are at heart surfers.
I love surfing, just the act of riding a wave, as much as anyone in the world. And, you know, I don't surf in order to make money, and I don't think any of the guys necessarily do, but if you're a good surfer and you're going to get paid for it, it's a big plus.
IOC officials will be attending upcoming ASP World Tour events to help determine if surfing should go from provisional recognition to at least a demonstration level, if not a full-fledged medal event. And if surfing is included in Sydney, American fans will be glad to know that last season's top five ranked men, as well as the defending women's world champ, all hail from the USA.
That is from mid-90s on my Wayback Machine when I worked at CNN Sports. And, yes, that was a young Kelly Slater you heard from a couple of times in there, a 20-something Kelly Slater. And, you know, they were a demonstration sport, but when they finally become this, they've gotten their world tour stuff kind of anyway, it's really cool. You can watch surfing on TV now, and you can watch it on the Internet and kind of get to know these guys, but it's pretty cool, and I hope that I have to be honest. I hope Slater gets in, and he'll be one of the oldest Team USA members in the summer games, if indeed he does. You can hear more of those stories from my Wayback Machine on YouTube. Action Figures TV is the channel that I have a lot of that stuff on. It's youtube.com/actionfigures TV, and then I also have some stuff on youtube.com/scorecardscribblings. There may not be a slash there, I'm not sure. But you can find all that information on my website at Scorecard Scribblings. Hey, a couple of other things to talk about before we are done. Congratulations twice over to the North State's Megan Rapinoe. She was named Sports Person of the Year by Sports Illustrated earlier this week. And she's just the fourth woman in the award's 66-year history to win. And I've put out some feelers to see if I don't have her number. I don't have her representative's number, but I would love to get Megan on the phone. I don't know if she's going to come home to visit any family. I think she and her sister both live in the Northwest, in that area, in Seattle, Portland, I think. But anyway, congratulations to her. And then today, here's kind of the capper. Time Magazine named the U.S. Women's Soccer Team Athletes of the Year. So they couldn't just pick Megan. They gave it to the women, and I think that just tells you how far women's professional soccer has come, and women's soccer in general. And it is not just folks like Julie Foudy and the group that won the World Cup defeating China in the Rose Bowl. I was there for that dramatic game back in the day when Brandi Chastain, you know, pulled her jersey off and ran around, you know, with her sports bra, and it kind of liberated the sports world, and people saw how great women's soccer could be, and now it is, we expect it, we really do, and Megan and her teammates are doing the right thing. They're playing because they love it, because they're great. And I want to congratulate her. Other things going on, a couple of other things. No word yet on Madison Bumgarner, but it's becoming more evident that he will not be coming back. Today, Garrett Cole, a word is that he's agreed to the biggest contract in terms of total money, the biggest contract in terms of annual salary in baseball history. So we go into the New York Yankees, and many folks felt, because he's actually just a hair older than Madison Bumgarner, even though Madison maybe has more miles on him and has had injuries in the last 3 years, this past year he pitched really well. So a lot of folks are feeling that Bumgarner should be able to ask for maybe that 16, 17 million a year. I don't know. We'll just have to see. But here's one that I saw just a little while ago. And if I could remember who I stole the idea from, I would tell you, but it doesn't matter because I thought the same thing. You know who Mad Bum would be a fit for? I know this is going to hurt. Dodgers. Would Mad Bum become a Dodger? That could blow your mind. Anyway, it's almost 7 o'clock. That means the show is almost over. I'm Brent Weber. Thanks to Shasta County Sports Hall of Famer Bill Plummer and Aaron Williams of ShastaCountySports.com. Have a great Wednesday night and the rest of your week.
The news.